best thing about election season is how much fun it is to listen to all the commercials, all the political ads, maybe even political phone calls, right? Because everyone's trying to get you on their side and warning you about the other side. Let's talk about all the sides right here, right now, in the corner of truth and life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we're talking about taking sides, us versus them. And as the time of this recording, we are days away from the election, the midterm election of 2018. And whenever you're listening to this, whether you're on the radio or whether later as a podcast, you have probably been bombarded with politics. And it's interesting whether you find it online through YouTube ads or Facebook friends or on TV or on the radio or even in person or all the signs along the side of the road or even the dreaded phone calls. You have been subjected to people trying to get you on their side, or the other little twist is they try to convince you that they're on your side and they represent you. And maybe they do, and maybe they don't, but it's in their interest to try to get you to think so, that either you're on their side or they're on your side, because they need you to vote for them because that's the power. And it can get a little too much. After a while, we get a little tired of it, and we may get tired of just, you know, okay, I've got my mind made up, leave me alone, or I don't have my mind made up, leave me alone, I don't care anymore, just leave me alone, and back and forth we go. Or maybe you're one of the really, you know, you're a true believer, and so you don't want to be left alone, you're the person other people want to leave them alone, because you're like, hey, I need to tell you what you ought to be doing. But no matter how you slice it, it's again, it's us versus them. And in this day and age, it's even more that way. Our political rhetoric is in a period now of maybe, I don't know, at least seems to me a little worse than normal. It comes and goes in stages. Right now, it seems to be a worse time. And if you go back, if you're a student of American history, as I am, I love history, and you go back, and there have been other times when it was bad. Of course, the most obvious is go back to the Civil War, where us versus them got so bad that we actually split in half for a while and split into kind of two parts and then fought it over and managed to get back together in the end, but not without a lot of heartache and hardship, and that mending has taken some time. But there were other times even before that where they fought over, you know, there was the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, and then, in, you know, as we got ready for World War I and then World War II, there was those who wanted to be involved and those who didn't. And as World War II kind of got going, before it was maybe a world war, and the United States really was divided over it. And the bigger half was, hey, let's stay out of it. We don't want to get involved again. World War I was enough, and let Europe deal with its own trouble and keep us out of it. So we've been divided, and at times it's been really bad, and at times it's been, you know, really calling out the other side as the enemy, and then other times it gets better, and it's less partisan and maybe a little less divided. And right now we're in a pretty bad period, and we all see it, and most of the time, again, whose fault is it? Well, it's the other side, obviously. They are terrible. They're anti-American, or they're fascists, or they're racists, or they're liberals, or they're conservatives, or they're whatever, you know, whatever name we're going to give to them that's a negative name. And boy, those people should be voted out. The Republicans should be voted out. The Democrats should be voted out. Whatever. It's us versus them. And our current president is really good at exploiting that and identifying groups that are out to get you and out to, you know, they're a threat, they're an enemy, whether it's the press, he calls the enemy the people, the migrants that are just a bunch of bad hombres who are going to come here and take our jobs and kill our people. Or if it's the Democrats that want to open your borders and raise your taxes or whatever. And of course, we saw it on the other side, too, with deplorables. And just it's not unique to either political party. And we see it here, just locally. I mean, every time the school budget comes up, man, it's us versus them, right? I see it even just in town politics between, you know, well, people who want, they just want more taxes and they want that, this, and all these people, they don't care about anything and they don't want to improve the town. I mean, it's us versus them. Every time we're good at this, right? We're good, and it's whether we take this everywhere, don't we? I mean, in almost every area of our lives, it's like we have to compete, and sometimes it gets pretty nasty. We bring it into not just our politics, whether it's national or local. It can be our races. It can be our, you know, nationalities. It can be which town you're from, which state you're from. It can be, well, who do you cheer on with a sports team? You know, Yankees versus Red Sox, or Patriots versus the Dallas Cowboys, or whoever. In fact, I want to play just a little clip here because it's just so funny. It's from Third Rock from the Sun as the teacher tries to understand about games.
I just don't see why you care so much about a team that has no chance of winning. Why are you so passionate about a lost cause? Ohio Western's record is 6-1. They're going to win. Why don't you root for them?
But we go to Pendleton. We're the Badgers. I mean, the Badgers are us. We're us, not them. They're them. We're us with the... Don't you get it?
No! Why didn't you just go to Western?
Because we choked on our SATs.
All right, just a little Third Rock from the Sun there, and he's trying to understand why they're so caught up in the big game, the football game, the homecoming game. He says, why do you care? I mean, the other team's better than our team. You should cheer for the winner. And I just love that student. He goes, you know, but they're them and we're us, not them. They're them, we're us. Well, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world, but that really is the argument. Us versus them. And we can get so invested in who we are and who they are. And again, it's not always even enough for us to do well. Them have to do bad. They have to lose. And sometimes it's even, well, they need to be wiped out. Depending on, you know, which way you go. So this is kind of, it's like we're hardwired for this, right? And it's so intense at times, and like I said, right now in our politics, it's gotten pretty intense. It's gotten pretty big with us versus them. Now, here's the thing that has been striking me, because I don't like it, and I get very discouraged with this because I'm not as much of an us versus them person, even though I'm a pretty competitive guy. And so whether it's fighting over the school budget, or town politics, or national politics, or immigration, or whatever, I get a little frustrated and disappointed sometimes with us versus them, because I just don't see that it's, I just don't like it. And what they have found in surveys, when they've surveyed America, they find that most people don't like it, and they don't like the level of negativity, and they don't like the level of partisanship, and they also don't feel they can change it. And again, so much of that comes down to, well, because if I disarm before the other side does, I could lose. And it's all one thing to say, let's all get along, but you go first. And since both sides say that, well, it's never going to happen. And sometimes when you try to bridge, you're going to just succeed in getting taking fire from both sides. But what has really struck me, and what I wanted to just kind of think about this morning, is that there's another big us versus them that we may not have thought about. And that is the us versus them of God and us. Because you have God, and of course God creates the human race, and we don't do well with that. We rebel. Given instructions, we don't follow them. And we become pretty awful. And even when having to deal with some punishment, we still go back to awful. And if you look at the state of the planet these days, it's pretty awful. Because people do not treat each other well. And all over the world, we have people being bad to other people, even though we were told not to. And God told us to behave ourselves, and we don't. And we don't in big ways and in small ways. But all of us can be pretty bad, whether it's, you know, you take that parking space, even though you could let someone else take it. You are selfish. You are hateful. Or maybe then, you know, people who do really bad things like, you know, murder and steal and stuff like that, that a lot of us good people wouldn't do. But no matter how you slice it, we're pretty rebellious and pretty awful. And if you have a God who's perfect, who's represents all love, and he represents just light and truth and everything else, then we're really bad. And we have done a very good job of disregarding what he's told us to do and how he's told us to act and even acknowledging him. So it creates a bad situation. In fact, the Bible says that we became, by our actions, God's enemies. And the Bible repeatedly refers to that as we pursue the things of this world and we pursue friendship with the world and all the stuff that we are declaring ourselves enemies of God. Enemies. I mean, that's a strong term. And so now God's got a problem because he's got a planet full of enemies. It's us versus them. And God's got more power than we do. So what does he do? All right, well, he could just, you know, snuff the planet out, snuff the human race out, boof, gone. Send everybody to hell, whatever. So what does he do? Well, he takes us versus them, and he sends himself, he sends his son, second person of himself, he sends God down to earth to become one of us. And he's not infiltrating so that he can take us down, divide, and conquer. It's so that he can identify with us. In other words, his first step in dealing with us versus them is to become one of them. And to become one of them so that he can better relate to one of them. And then he doesn't just become one of us, one of them. He becomes a lowly version. And then he allows himself to be killed. He allows himself to lose. Of course, the whole reason he does this is so that he can win us back, that he can convert us, that he can bring us not through some sort of crushing victory, but through his own defeat, make us one of him. Bring us into a relationship with him because he loves us. When you think about the people in your life who are the them, have you ever thought about using God's approach? And have you ever thought about that God considered you his enemy, and so he decided to serve you, to love you, to die for you, and you didn't deserve it, but rather than to defeat you, he tried to love you? That could change our world. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.